Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him who can eat or who can have enjoyment, for to the one who pleases him God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. There's a story that a very rich man knew he was going to die soon, and he decided he wanted to die at home rather than a hospital. Fine, okay. So he tells his wife, now you need to get two great big bags, make sure they have really good handles on them, go to the bank, get them filled full of money, bring them back home, go upstairs and tie them up there, and when I die on my way up, I'm going to grab the two bags, that's why I need the good handles, and take it with me. So the woman does this. She kind of looks at him like, okay, she does it. He passes away. A couple of days later, she went up there to see if the bags were still there. Of course they were. So she hits the door really hard. She says, I knew I should have put them in the basement. In our gospel lesson, the rich man in our text is a lot like that rich man I just talked about with the bags hanging from the ceiling. He put all his trust in that. Now, I'm going to give you a Latin lecture. Thank goodness I didn't have to learn that language in school. The word culture. It comes from the Latin word cultus, which means a system of religious worship. So when we talk about a culture of a community, what we're talking about is what do they see as most important? What do they worship, in a sense? The culture we live in is very much of a culture of pursuing more and more wealth. Now, Jesus tells us we live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. So we got to live in a culture that says one thing, but we're not supposed to be like it, which makes it difficult. I think it was three weeks ago, I preached about the kingdom of God when Jesus said the kingdom of God is here. In an imperfect way, the kingdom of God is present and we pursue it. And that kingdom of God is making him known. Now, the rich fool in the gospel lesson, he gives us the perfect example of how not to live in the kingdom of God. I love this. His barns are overflowing with things. Notice, plural, barns. So he's got several of these. He's got enough for years and years. Here's a question that struck me when I was preparing the sermon. Let's say he'd taken all the crops that year. Instead of building new barns, just gave it all away. Would it really have hurt him? I mean, if you got barns and barns of food, a certain point is how much can you eat? But for this man, this is a problem. Where am I going to put it all? It's causing him great anxiety. Isn't it amazing? Him having too much is worrying him. The rich man, according to the world standards, was very well off. And notice it's a rich. He's rich and young. Imagine if you could go back to age 25. Okay. Some of you all haven't made it there. I don't want to hear your triple that now either. But imagine if you could go back to 25, be incredibly wealthy. Isn't that kind of almost the ideal of what people would like? Because what happens? We usually get enough money to be comfortable, what? When we're much older. But imagine, 25 and wealthy. Problem is, he doesn't have what really matters. World says you're incredibly successful, but he doesn't have what matters. And he doesn't seem to care for other people. Notice he's only talking to himself. He doesn't appear to have anybody around him. He didn't, as I was thinking about, just give away the crop for that year because my barns are already full. He also didn't understand that everything he had was entrusted to him by God. It was not a result of how brilliant he was, what a great farmer he was, any of this. All that he had was entrusted to him. God gave him the gifts to get those things.
excuse me. Speaking about being entrusted with, you know, gifts and talents. You remember Jesus' parable that a wealthy man went away and he called three of his servants together, and to one he gave five talents, and one the two, and then to the last one he gave only one talent. And then when he comes back, the guy who had the five talents, he done well. He earned another five. He's commended. The second one who was only given two, yes. I just said it 30 seconds ago. You think I could remember? Two talents. He goes out and earns another two. Very good. And the one who only had one, you remember what he did? He went out and buried it. Did nothing with it. This rich man's sort of the reverse of that. He'd be kind of the equivalent of the guy with five who buried it. All that he has, it's all about him. And he's thinking, now I can just sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. I have no worries about anything. Hey, guys, remember the Jeffersons? I'm trying to get the theme song. Moving on up. That's this rich young ruler. He's just moving on up. You all want to see me dance and sing, and it's not going to happen. But just picture George Jefferson walking in. And Wheezy. That's kind of the attitude of this rich young man. He has got the world. And then what does God call him? A fool. You know nothing. That's what God is telling him. There's a very old story about a hermit who was wandering through the hills, and he found a cave. He goes into the cave. Incredible amount of wealth in this cave. Somebody's hidden it away. Looks like nobody's been there for years and years. So this hermit runs out of the cave, and he runs right into three thieves on the road who stop him. And they want to know why you're in such a hurry. He says, I'm running from the devil. They look at him. They said, well, show us this devil. What's really going on? So he finally says, there's all this treasure. So they take him back, make him show where that cave is. Three thieves, hermit, enter. There's all this incredible wealth. Hermit runs out again. He's screaming, I'm running from death. Runs away. Well, three thieves have all this incredible wealth, but you got to get it out of there because that hermit may tell somebody else. So they come up with a scheme. One's going to go in the town and get some food, and the other two are going to work to get it all gathered so they can move it. Well, the guy getting the food has an idea. If I poison the food, I kill the other two, and then I get it all. Well, he didn't know that two thieves in the caves plan between each other. You know, if we kill him, then we only have to split this two ways. Thief comes back with the food. The two jump him, kill him. Then they sit down and eat the food, and then they both drop dead. What good did it do them at all to have all that incredible wealth? But don't we sometimes think, if I just had a little bit more of this, that, or the other thing, then my life will be better. And if I have all those stuff, then I won't be greedy. See, nobody's nodding because we've all done it. Just a little bit more, and then I won't be greedy. I don't need anything else. Now, Jesus comes in and messes this all up. What he's saying is the best way to handle greed is actually to have less and then be content with that. You know, now I'm saying this sarcastically. Christianity's great, but Jesus keeps messing it up. I kind of have my little ideas on just how I want things to be and how things should run, and then Jesus comes along and he messes it all up. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where do we want our heart to be? I love that Old Testament passage from Ecclesiastes. King Solomon, who had all this incredible wealth, power, 300 wives, to me, that doesn't sound enjoyable. I mean, whose house do you go to at Christmas? But anyway, That's also 300 mother-in-laws, but we're not going to go there. Has all this stuff. And what does King Solomon say? It means nothing. Don't have God. We really don't have anything. See, the problem with the rich man was not his wealth. All right? It wasn't as important what he did with it. He had no relationship with God. If he had a relationship with God, he would have known how to use what he had better. But the core of his sin is not knowing God. If you know it, like I said, if he'd known God, he would have known what to do with his possessions. So this kid's got 10 cookies. His friend has none. So the mom says, give your friend, share with your friend. So the boy with 10 cookies takes one, breaks it in half, and hands him half a cookie. Wow. Isn't he generous? He didn't know what to do with it all. See, life is not about possessing. And then Jesus tells us what we don't want to hear, that all that stuff means nothing. Right now, anybody in the advertising world is going, no, it's time. Because that's what we tell people. If you just have this facial cream, ladies, guess what? You'll suddenly look 40 years younger. Lady go 35 goes, whoa, wait a minute. But anyway, the whole advertising world is, if you just have this, then you got it made. And Jesus is saying that doesn't matter. This lesson's not about selling all that we have. But it does talk about being a blessing to those in need. This passage has also been misused that because somebody has so much and they're just basically storing it, putting it away, not using it, then we have a right to go in and take it and give it to those who don't have. No, that's not what it's getting at. A blessing of any kind is to be shared. Like the boy with the 10 cookies. Couldn't he surely have given his friend more than half a cookie? Because ultimately, who in that analogy with the cookies, ultimately, who owns those cookies? God does. Who made the wheat and chocolate and all that good stuff that goes into a cookie? Notice I said chocolate. God. So guess what? Most cookies belong to God. Okay, here's a rarity. I'm going to tell you to be like a politician. Okay? You know how they're always willing to always give away money when it's not theirs? They do. So I'm telling you, be like a politician. We can be generous to people because it's God's. Now I just made the politicians happy. All right. And there's that old cliche, stop stressing about what you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. Well, I would change that. Don't stress over what we don't have, but rejoice that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.